The Everything Apartments podcast is provided with support from the Apartment Association of Greater Los Angeles, better known as AGLA, serving residential landlords throughout Southern California through education and advocacy. Visit aagla.org. Welcome to the Everything Apartments podcast. I'm your host, Eric Christopher. And on this podcast, we discuss all topics of multifamily investments, from buying and financing properties, day-to-day operations and management, and also reinvestment strategies. This is our first episode for 2024, and we hope you all had a great holiday season and are off to a good start with your new year. When I first got in the management business 17 years ago now, wow, I had no idea what I'd be challenged with in the way of pests, whether it be ants or roaches, which to one extent or another, we've all kind of probably grew up with our whole life. But on top of that, I've run into different challenges with other types of pests, ranging from beehives in walls and ceilings, and raccoons wanting to live inside buildings, and certainly rats and even skunks. And if any of you manage properties for a while, I'm sure pests are a frequent challenge, just as it is for me. So I thought it'd be a good idea to talk to a top-notch pest control technician about this stuff and see what we can, as owners and property managers, can do to kind of minimize this nuisance. We have a really great guest for you today. But first, I'll tell you about our firm, WSC Realty Advisors and WSC Property Management. WSC has been helping buyers and sellers and managing properties in Long Beach for over 17 years now. Let's say you're tired of managing your units yourself, or you're just not really getting the reporting or response level from the current manager you have, we can definitely help you. A lot of our clients tell us that either the burden on them personally, maybe they don't quite live in the area, or they're just getting tired, or maybe they just have somebody in there that doesn't quite align with their expectation level. I can tell you we can help you. WSC will never be the largest property manager in Long Beach. We don't want to be. We want to stay a little more agile and be able to move in a way that bigger companies can't, and be more responsive and more detail oriented and have the best maintenance and repair going on in the city. We can also help you if you're looking to acquire more units either here or maybe an exchange scenario going out of state. We are seeing a lot more people doing that. Places like Arizona, Texas, Tennessee, Florida, we can definitely help you with that as well. Visit wsc-pm.com. Call, text, or email us. If you're looking at the YouTube version of this, you can see the information right over my shoulder, but it's also in the show notes. Mention the Everything Apartments podcast and get your first 2 months of management absolutely free. Whatever the challenge is with your property, WSC has a solution. Today, we have with us Diego Hernandez, who is the owner of Ladybug's Pest Control here locally in Southern California. I first came in touch with Diego about 12 years ago when they were on a service plan with a building that some partners and I bought, and really had no idea what to look for, but just kind of left them in to give them a chance with the service. And the relationship's really blossomed since then. Diego and Ladybugs basically service all of my buildings on a monthly basis, and we've had some other challenges that we have had to tackle together with some special kinds of pests. Diego founded Ladybugs in 2004, but he's been in the business since 1979. Now, what happened with my audio recording was I had a little corruption in the first part of the interview, so I took some notes, and I'm going to kind of summarize what we went through, and then I'll bring Diego on for the balance of the interview. The first topic we tackled was regarding cockroaches. Cockroaches seem to be the biggest nuisance, at least here in Long Beach units, and, you know, like any other kind of pest, we're probably never going to completely eradicate them from our lives. So the name of the game is really mitigation to the lowest extent that we can expect to do. As I mentioned a minute ago, how Diego and his team do that is with a monthly exterior service. Now, what they do is they go around the perimeter of the building or buildings, treat that with chemical, and that does a pretty good job of keeping the bugs that want to enter away. That also includes a couple of interior units on request. So the service plan has an exterior service plus a couple, two or three, depending on how big the property is, on a as requested basis. They will go in, do a chemical treatment, which the tenant is charged with sealing up their kitchen items and their food. And the other one is a trapping system, which is much less invasive to the tenant. And I've seen both of these work pretty well for isolated incidents. You know, we see a bug or two here and you go, okay, let's treat the interior. Now, the more troublesome one is the major kind of infestation. So a couple months back, I had to call upon Diego and his team to help me with a much larger infestation. This was a four-unit property, four single-story units in a row, basically connected by walls. I just had took this building over for management. The rear unit was vacant. So it was ready to go. We put a tenant in there, and within 7 to 10 days, this guy was complaining about major bug infestation. So I said, okay, let me take a look. And believe me, he was not lying. There was 50 to 60 cockroaches dead or still living inside this unit. Okay, what is going on here? Now, what Diego shared with me is with a major infestation, major infestations are usually driven by a sloppy tenant in the building that's pulling, basically attracting in the cockroaches, and then they find their way into the adjacent units. And sure enough, when I did routine inspections, the next door neighbor, which basically shared a wall, their kitchens basically faced each other behind a wall, that unit was, let's say, Hall of Fame sloppy. I don't know about you, but sometimes we see units that housekeeping may not make our standard, but okay, no problem. And then you walk in some of these places and you wonder how the hell the person can live there. It's all you can do not to throw up in your mouth based on what you smell and you see. And this was one of those units. So what I had to do then was have a real uncomfortable conversation about what the lease provisions say about basic cleanliness and the fact that if it wasn't improved, we were going to have to ask this tenant to leave. And luckily, the tenant complied and did what we needed to do. There was a lot of food left out, a lot of grease caked on the oven, just general sloppiness around housekeeping. And what we found was once we got that unit at least up to a line of acceptability, the cockroaches seemed to dissipate. Now, the other thing we did in anywhere inside the unit where there's a breach into a wall, you want to seal those holes up really good. I took an inspection on all the kitchen cabinets on both sides of this unit and found, you know, there were a couple of breaches in the back of the cabinets. A lot of times you see pipes going through where there's a breach in the wall where there's, you know, extra space. Fill those spaces up with spray foam. Caulking. I spent myself and an assistant of mine spent about an hour and a half on this vacant unit, filling each and every little tiny hole in the kitchen with either the spray foam or the caulking. And that has seemed to mitigate the cockroach infestation. So typically, those larger infestations are unit cleanliness. That's a good thing that you can catch up on it on the, say, a semi-annual or annual maintenance inspection. If you see that kind of thing, you can almost bet that there's going to be cockroaches falling along pretty soon after. Key items are like, hey, look, you know, you see units where people have food, pots and pans dirty, still full of food with them, look like they've been there about 4 days, dirty dishes, just raw food sitting out. Then the other thing is on the oven on this particular unit was a lot of caked grease and cooking oil. Then you want to, you know, have these people get behind the refrigerator and behind the stove oven, pull it out. They love to hide behind there. Just kind of anywhere where there's filth and grime, you can probably bet there's going to be cockroaches. Then the other thing that Diego shared with me in the first part of the interview was that the foggers that we see at the hardware store and Home Depot, they generally don't work. I know it feels like a productive process to go in, put the newspaper down, light a fogger off, close the door, and leave. But what he shared with me was that really all that serves to do is motivate the bugs into another unit. So basically, if you had one unit fogging one day, the bugs go into the next unit, maybe the next unit fogs, they go back. It's really not much of a deterrent. Really, the best thing to do is a professional service. And this isn't expensive. I mean, an 8-unit building is probably $60 to $75 a month. And the peace of mind is really nice knowing that you get the exterior service and the interior if and when you need it, as long as you and I, you know, as managers or owners, keep an eye on some of these tenants' cleanliness. There should be a pretty good result coming from cockroach mitigation. The next topics were recorded and in good shape. So let's pick up the interview with Diego now. Let's turn the page real quick and We had a funniest episode. You probably don't remember, but, you know, bed bugs have been something that's been really, you know, kind of high on the list over the last, I don't know, 5 to 10 years. And you told me a funny story, and I'm going to remind you about it, because I had a bug incident a couple years back, and you were sharing with me how I believe you went to Las Vegas, right? Do you remember this?
Yes, I remember that.
I believe you went to Las Vegas and stayed, was it the Bellagio?
You want me to mention it? Yeah, it was the Bellagio, yes. Yes.
All right, so tell me a brief version of that story, because I still tell people about it now.
Yeah, what happened is that we went there immediately. I make it a habit to kind of look around the unit to see if there's any bed bugs anywhere. And sure as heck, there was a bed bug there. We went down to the back to the desk and told them they had bed bugs. And they kind of didn't believe me. And I said, you know, this is what I do for a living. Took the, whoever it was, came to visit, and I showed them exactly where they were. And they were stunned. They were stunned that I even knew there was bed bugs, and they were kind of embarrassed. But yeah, that is common. I've had cases to where Vegas has paid, some hotels have paid for people's homes because they have bed bugs. We just, you know, bill the hotel and they send us a check. Hotels, motels, especially in Vegas, has a huge problem with bed bugs. Every single hotel you stay in, a motel, I don't care where it is, it could be the most fanciest place in the world, they all have bed bugs, every one of them. There's not much you can do about it, because you get people from different parts of the world. That's where that is ground zero, where people are literally going to Vegas, getting bed bugs on them, and bringing them back home.
Now, what I've been telling my tenants, because I remember that story, and whenever I move somebody in, we have a bed bug addendum in the lease. I said, Right. Look, it doesn't matter if you're at Motel 6 or the Bellagio, do not store your suitcase open, like we've all done and used to do, open on the bed for a length of time. Use that stupid little rack that's in the closet, because from what I heard is that they just jump in your suitcase and ride home with you. Is that the main transport of those bed bugs, or are they like on you? Like, what can we do personally? Forget rental properties, but we're going to go to the Bellagio, or we're going to go to Motel 6. It doesn't matter. What do we do not to bring the bed bugs home?
Good question. You know, the bed bugs are a great travel. They'll travel on you. They'll travel in your pocket. They'll travel in your suitcase. They'll travel in your shoes. They'll hang on you until you get to a certain destination, and then come off you and start feeding. The way to not bring them home, like you just said, keep your suitcase closed, keep an eye. And bed bugs like to hide behind, like, picture frame, behind, underneath lamps. They like to hide in spring mattresses, and they like to hide in light sockets, curtain rods. They don't expose themselves. It's very difficult to find them. And trying to prevent them from you taking them from a hotel motel somewhere else is very difficult at best. You know, that's why the bed bugs explode so easily. It's become a problem. There was a time we did have it under control where it was very rare. When I first started in the industry, I had a route dedicated strictly to bed bugs. Became a specialist at it, actually. The bed bugs went away. I kind of forgot about it. But when it came back, I already knew what to do. I started giving classes on, you know, throughout the industry, because a lot of the new generation had no idea how to treat for them. Fortunately, you know, I've been exposed to it. I know the steps to control. As a matter of fact, the material that are around now are 10 times better to control bed bugs than what there used to be. And so, you know, it made it easier for me to give the classes and to get the bed bugs, you know, controlled. Or explain it how to control it, but there's really no way of keeping them from traveling. You can do whatever you want, but if they're there, you're gonna take them with you.
We had another funny one. You and I, some years back now, had no idea that bees like to get inside of walls and create their own honeycombs inside the wall. Because I was walking by this building I own and looking up, and there was like a second story dryer vent. So, you know, the kind that blow the hot steam and hot air out, but this was second story up, and I'm going, man, there's sure a lot of bees going in and out of that little dryer vent there. Had no idea what was going on. First time I ever experienced that. And you came out there and you're like, oh man, you got a beehive inside the wall. And I'm going, what? Like, beehives are like those honeycomb things that they don't go inside of. And you told me the story about sometimes how they put, you know, 8, 10, 12 gallons of honey inside of a wall, and you got to take all the drywall off and and clean it out. I mean, that was a pretty interesting adventure we had on that one.
We used to do what's called bee removal. I don't do it anymore because of the liability involved in it now. But we used to be able to tear out drywall inside of a unit or a house, mainly houses, and we would put out 8, 10. We've been known to pull out, 200 gallons of honey and pee people's walls and load up a trash bin full of hive and honey, in someone's front yard. And it was just a crazy experience.
The other one that's been something of a nuisance for me over time is our little four-legged creatures that like to become tenants and not pay rent inside of walls, inside of crawl spaces. In the same building that we were talking about earlier, where there was the cockroach infestation, on the other side, there's another row of four units, total 8-unit building. And lately, I've got this new tenant in there that says, "Hey, I think there's something living in the wall. I hear movement inside the wall and maybe up in the attic." Okay, great. This isn't my first time on that one. You've handled some of that stuff for me before. But I went over there. I mean, first obvious hint was that this is a crawl space building, elevated subfloor, and some of the screens were deteriorated and kind of wide open. Okay, that seems like an easy one to fix. Get that all buttoned up tight. But then I'm still having these reports that the gal opened the back door of the unit and saw a family of skunks back there. So she naturally assumed that. But when I called you up here just recently, she said, "No, probably not skunks, but we do have exposure with raccoons quite a bit." Tell me about our four-legged friends that like to live in the unit without us knowing.
Rent is what I specialize in. That's what I started out doing. That was my first job ever, was to I had a route full of rats. I had
A
to go
rat
from
route.
rat route. That's exactly what we used to call it. And I had the lowest part of the job. I was the new guy. Nobody wanted to do it, and they stuck me in it. And so I actually started to like it because I started. They are so clever. They're smarter than the average person I know. They know when you wake up, they know when you go to bed, they know when you eat, when you go to the bathroom. They live the complete opposite of you, okay? And most people don't know they have rats until they start hearing them in the walls. And it's not because it's the rats making the noises, it's the babies. Mom and dad know to shut up and be quiet, and you have the baby rat that decides to go and play and run around, the attic or the wall, or inside the unit out of curiosity. And that's what gives mom and dad away. And it's not unusual for people to have rats, living with rats for a long time. Suddenly they call me out and I'm telling them they're totally infested and they don't believe me. And we end up pulling out 20, 30, 40 or more rats out of people's attics or sub areas. I can tell you stories about rats living inside of people's beds and them not knowing it. I go and make an inspection, and they're saying the rats are in the attic, and I move the bed out of the way, and there's a hole into the wall leading right into the mattress, and
Wow.
that's where she was having her babies. And I've seen people freak out on me. I've had people lock me in attics when I was coming up there. I've had grown men cry. I've had wives leave their husbands in the middle of it when he was going to take an estimate, and you're not taking an estimate, and she's just walking out the door, and he's, wait a minute, wait a minute.
I was
So
looking for a reason to leave, and this is a good enough one.
the rats are, and I gotta be very careful talking to people about rats. I really don't like, getting work through fear. But unfortunately, as I'm talking to them, their eyes get wide and they start looking around, they start scratching, and it's kind of hilarious. I don't mean to say it's funny to watch somebody suffer through a rat, but it's funny to see people's reactions. Everybody has a different reaction.
And then the other instance you and I had, I don't know, this was last year at some point. I hesitate to judge time now. As I get older, I need to
I know.
double. If I think something happened, say 6 months ago, I just add 6 more ago. Yeah, it was about a year ago. But at another property, we had a bit of a rat problem, and far, far away from the unit itself, in the back of the alley of the property was a dumpster, which was overflowing and food and this and that and the other. And you said, "Hey, here's your problem attracting the rats." I said, "Man, the unit where the rats are is way over yonder." He said, "No, this is where they start at." and they start getting into the building from this buffet called the dumpster. So cleanliness, but what else can we do to keep the four-legged creatures away from us?
Well, there's a lot of things you can do. One of the main things you can do is cut back overhanging trees around your home. A lot of people have beautiful trees, beautiful yards. The most common rat problem I have are in beautiful homes. They're just well landscaped. They got fruit trees everywhere. They got a pond in the middle of their backyard. They got lush growing everywhere. It's a rat paradise. I mean, if I was a rat, that's where I would be living. It's a perfect way to live, and they got and the best way to keep it controlled is to keep shrubbery cut away from your house, branch limbs away from the top of your roof, making sure you don't have any water leaks from your piping around your home. You want to make sure that you just keep the house clean, the exterior picked up, especially with fruit tree. When you have a fruit tree that is overripened and falling down, rats will congregate to that.
No, you taught me that some years back, and it was something I just really never thought about. And you see this every day, all day when you're driving around, are the trees that are in the green belt in a residential area, you know, it could be apartments or single family, where those trees are many decades old, and they are now growing up to, against, and over the roof line of the building, which basically you taught me just gives the rats a little bridge to walk across, find their way in from the penetrations in the roof or whatever, you know, small space is all they need. And boom, you got a rat family living in the attic at that point. So I've really made a point myself when I'm walking around and I see some trees that are getting close or even already. It's like, get somebody over there, get them chopped away from the building. I usually tell them that 3 to 5 feet minimum and cut that bridge access off from the nature to your property.
Yeah, that is the key, is keep them away from your house. And once they infest an attic, it becomes an issue, because that's where they're going to live. That's their home. That's where their family is. That's where the insulation is. It's a great way for to have a family. Insulation keeps them warm. It's a great hiding place. Nothing can get them. The hawks can't get them. The cats can't get them. They think people can't get them, and they generally can't. And once they infest an attic, it's could be quite difficult to get them out. It takes multiple trap checks and multiple visits of removing the rats. It is a problem, especially in attics. The biggest headache I have is on Monday mornings. It seems every Monday morning for my whole career is that I get the most rat calls coming, which I would do. Go out and seal up all the holes immediately, and they go out there. They plug up the hole. They do a great job. I mean, the best I've ever seen. And what they've done without knowing that they literally trapped the rats inside their home. And that evening, the rats start rustling around looking for a way out, and they can't, and they start infesting inside the house. So on Monday morning, I'll get in on average anywhere from 4 to 5 calls a week on a panic housewife on the phone, wanting us out there immediately. I guess the call started about 3 o'clock in the morning. We leave our schedule open specifically for that.
We've obviously got challenges in the pest control world with property management, going from the smallest little creatures up to much larger. Diego and Ladybug's Pest Controls, definitely, I highly recommend them. I've been working with them exclusively for 12 or
Yeah,
so
please. 12
years
years, yeah.
now. Diego, I really appreciate you having you here today. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put your company information in the show notes, and also on the email that goes out to advertise the show. And I highly encourage anybody listen to this with a pest control problem, or maybe the pest control you have now just isn't quite fitting the bill. I completely endorse Diego and Ladybug's Pest Control. They've done a great job and will continue to do so. And hey, great having you again. And thanks for the insight on what, you know, we all can do to kind of, sounds like most of the time, kind of keep the flames back. We're not going to get rid of a lot of these creatures. They're going to be around us, but whatever we can do to minimize the exposure is kind of what we're talking about, right?
There's never time. It's a minimal exposure, and you know, practice that sanitation, and you'll do okay. Eric, thank you for having me. I really enjoyed this. I love talking shop, as you can see.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You can tell somebody who's really into their industry when they're excited to talk about it, no matter what it is. So, great discussion. Give Diego a call if you have any pest control problems. His information's in the show notes. You have listened to the Everything Apartments podcast. I'm your host, Eric Christopher. Stay tuned for another episode coming soon.